You're listening to WMUK 102.1 FM, music, NPR, local arts, and more. And now it's time to sit back and have a look at the upcoming season of delights coming from the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And here to preview that with me is Maestro Raymond Harvey. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Well, I'm really glad you could take the time. I wanted to start with some sort of joke about how you must be thinking about the 2014-2015 season already.
Well, we are, actually.
Are you really?
Yes.
So when it's in a brochure form and presented to the public, it's almost, that's the last step. And
well, there's a sense of relief, you know, that we've launched something. There are still, you know, the little loose ends to tie up, but if you don't start thinking about the next season, it'll be on top of you before you know it.
All of the dates to be accounted for, mm-hmm. and the venues taken care of, and of course the wonderful guest artists. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd look at the seasons as series.
Okay.
So people can get a sense of each unique set of concerts.
Sure, sure.
But of course, when you call the box office at the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, which is 349-7759, people can help you with any
yes,
of those concerts.
Yes, certainly. This is our 93rd season coming up. We're getting up there, and we're very proud of that. The orchestra has had a wonderful, wonderful history, and we're still going strong. From my point of view, our mainstay, of course, is our symphonic series. And every year I try to be mindful of getting good variety throughout that series. I don't want to have a whole season of nothing but accordion players, although there are probably some people that would love that. So it's a mix of violin and piano and choral and opera and French horn, so we can have a nice selection of types of artists to listen to. This is also a kind of a special season for me because this is my 15th season coming up.
Oh, congratulations.
The time has flown so quickly. And to do a little private joke celebration of my 15th season, we thought it would be great to start the season with the symphony that I conducted when I first came to Kalamazoo for my quote-unquote audition concert. So we're opening in September with the Rachmaninoff Symphony No. 2, which is a wonderful, lush piece. I've been a Rachmaninoff fan for years, we haven't played it here since I did that concert in 1998. So that's kind of exciting.
The next piece on that program is a concerto by Strauss, which couldn't fit any better, I think.
I know. I mean, the lush music that Strauss wrote, and the fact that his father was a French horn virtuoso certainly didn't hurt that Strauss knew how to write for that instrument. It's a tour de force for the soloists, but it's also such a delight just in the colors and the harmonies that Strauss has come up with. So I think a combination of Strauss and Rachmaninoff is really heaven.
And this opens the season on September 21st.
Right.
The symphonic series starts with one concert a month in the fall from October,
yes.
September, October, and November. And they're basically all right in the middle of the month. And you can find out more online if you want to follow along at kalamazoosymphony.com. I have a very personal, happy memory of the first time I saw you conduct.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the Rachmaninoff. I know what it was in the Rachmaninoff. It was the Fountains of Rome by Rasbicki.
Right.
And I was captivated by your phrasing.
Oh, thank you.
I've always remembered that.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
No Rasbicki on this
no,
season.
No, we've done our Rasbicki. We're kind of Rasbicki'd out a little bit.
Sure.
So we'll save him for a few more years. In October, we have a special concert that is actually a tribute concert. Many in our community will remember Jacob and Naomi Stuckey. who were wonderful supporters of the arts here in Kalamazoo. They're both now deceased. Their daughters, their adult daughters, have wanted the symphony to do something as a tribute to Naomi and Jacob. And they had a great love of choral music. They both sang, and they also loved Brahms. That was one of their favorite composers. So in October, we're doing a concert in collaboration with the Bach Festival Chorus and featuring two Brahms choral orchestral works. One is Neni, which is a funeral song. It's a piece that Brahms wrote after the death of a very good friend. And the other one is called Schicksalslied, which means Song of Destiny. Beautiful poetry set to just lovely vocal and orchestral settings. So that's the mainstay of our October program. And around that, we've got Stravinsky's Pulcinella Suite, which is just delightful, and which hasn't been played, at least by us, in many, many years. And we'll close that program with Mozart's final symphony, the Jupiter Symphony.
I think that also would be, it's been a few years since we had a Jupiter Symphony in the area. So that's a beautifully balanced classical program with that Brahms romanticism as well.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think that'll be really nice.
October 12th in the Chenery Auditorium.
Yes, so that's it lends itself better, we think, to the smaller venue of Chenery. Things like the Mozart would get a little lost in Miller. So I think that'll be Chenery will be a very nice setting for this.
At the Kalamazoo Symphony office, people can talk you through various ticket subscription offers and discounts and things like that. And the number again is 269-349-7759, or click on kalamazoosymphony.com. The November concert is called Scheherazade.
Yes, and of course, we're doing Rimsky-Korsakov Scheherazade. It's such a brilliant setting of the tale of Arabian Nights, the tales of 1001 Nights. Exotic, tuneful, great virtuoso colors for the orchestra. It's that will be a treat. And our guest soloist for that concert will be Zul Bailey, cellist. People who are fans of HBO may remember that many years ago, that series called Oz about a prison, Zul Bailey had a recurring role on that series as a cellist.
Wow.
There are not a lot of classical artists who could say they've had a recurring television role, but he certainly is one. So we're delighted that he's coming here to play with us.
Well, WMUK has received his recordings of the Beethoven sonatas and other collaborations with another very popular pianist right now, Simone Dinnerstein. And I just wanted to tell people who are wondering how to spell Zuill. It's Z-U-I-L-L.
Right. Another pianist that he collaborates with a lot has another difficult name, Awadajan Pratt. Zuill Bailey and Awadajan Pratt have done a lot of things together. They're old friends. And Awadajan is a wonderful pianist, and they really work together quite well.
Zuill is playing one of the greatest cello concertos ever written.
Yes, the Elgar Cello Concerto. I mean, it's just a gem in the literature. I'm an Elgar fan anyhow, but it is just, you know, such an emotional piece. It's very powerful.
From start to finish.
Yes, indeed.
It's dramatic, but it also has so much soul and poetry to it.
So from that, we run on to the second half of our season. And in February 1st, we are ecstatic about being able to have Midori, the great violinist, as our soloist. I worked with Midori probably 20 years ago. And I remember how electric her playing was, just phenomenal. You could feel the energy emanating from her, filling the whole concert hall. So we're delighted that she's going to come to Kalamazoo, and she's playing the Shostakovich Violin Concerto. And you may also know, Kara, that she'll be here for a residency. We applied for a grant program, and we were very fortunate to be accepted, because Midori only does this with two or three orchestras a year. She'll be here for 4 days doing outreach programs in the schools, doing master classes, coaching chamber ensembles, working a lot with the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony, and will perform with us. And the following day, February 2nd, we'll perform in a concert with the Junior Symphony. So we will certainly be advantaged by having her give us that much of her time and her expertise.
Well, I don't think it's exaggerating to say this could change for the better an entire generation of young musicians.
Oh, yes, indeed.
A visit with Midori.
Right.
I have to comment that with Midori starting so young and rising so high so fast, it is so heartening to see her continue her life in music with as much love as she started.
Yes, and enthusiasm and concern for others. I think it's very easy for a great artist to just become jaded and do their concerts and go back to their hotel, and that's that. But it's wonderful to have a personality like hers, where she wants to give back to the community. She wants to strengthen music communities. We're very glad to have her come and do that.
Midori's concert is February 1st, and that's at Miller Auditorium. And you can find out even more online, KalamazooSymphony.com, or talk to someone at the Kalamazoo Symphony office at 269-349-7759. Well, it's hard to talk about Midori and then put Mr. Fleischer right after her, because he's equally incredible.
He's a legend. Leon Fleischer has been in the business for a long time. He's in his mid-80s now, and still going strong. He'll be with us February 28th. He, as many people know, early in his career had damaged his right hand, and so started playing just the literature for the left hand. And even though he now is playing again some with both hands, he still mostly plays left hand literature alone. The Ravel Concerto for the Left Hand is probably the most famous in that genre, and he's coming here to play that with us.
Mr. Fleischer has made that piece his own.
Oh, yes.
His dedication to teaching at the Curtis Institute, I think, makes him even a deeper musician.
Yes.
He can bring so much.
Right. And he has produced so many wonderful young piano virtuosos, many of whom have been part of the Gilmore Festival. This is a man with great depth and great musical integrity. We're very happy that he's coming to play with us. Someone has asked me in the past, why are there no concertos for the right hand alone? Which is a very good question. And I, as a pianist, have been trying to explore that. And there's some physical reasons for that. When you play with the left hand alone, your thumb is in a position to play the higher notes of a melody. And you have more strength in your thumb, most everyone does, than you would in your pinky finger if you were playing the high notes with just your right hand. But there's also a physical thing that it's harder to cross your arm across your body with the right hand going down than it is to cross your arm across your body with the left hand going up. The way your hand is shaped and the way your thumb is, unless you're some freak of nature, it's a lot easier with the left hand. So that's probably why there are no right-hand concertos, at least none that I know of. But if someone finds one, please prove me wrong.
Well, often the story goes that someone damaged their right hand and not their left. And maybe it's because we have a propensity to use it for more things.
It could be.
It's just the one that gets in the way the most.
Right, but it's given composers a great challenge.
Yes. Oh, and I'm sure Dr. Curtis Smith would like us to mention that Leon Fleischer performed his Left Hand Concerto with in Kalamazoo many years ago now. But it'll be wonderful to have him perform the Ravel concerto that almost started it all.
Yes, yes.
Did you want to mention the other works on the program?
Yes, we're opening that program with Benjamin Britten's four C interludes from his opera Peter Grimes. Very atmospheric pieces because they all deal with the sea at different times of day, through storms, through nighttime. And this is a Britten celebration year. Benjamin Britten's 100th anniversary of his birth is in 2013. And so we're trying to incorporate several Britten works throughout the season. And that same concert that that Mr. Fleischer plays, the Ravel, will close with Sibelius' Second Symphony, again, a very atmospheric work. There's something about Sibelius that it always sounds like it's in the cold or the sun trying to break through the snow or something like that.
It's an Arctic landscape there.
Hopefully by next year at the end of February, we will be trying to break through the snow.
It's always so appropriate to turn to Sibelius in the darkest part of the winter.
Yes, exactly.
The symphonic series concludes on April 4th in Miller Auditorium with one work.
Yes, one wonderful work. We're doing a semi-staged opera production of Verdi's Otello. Everyone knows the Shakespeare play Othello. Verdi took that Shakespearean play, Verdi loved Shakespeare, and made it a dramatic musical tour de force. It's a sensational story, but coupled with probably some of the best music that Verdi ever wrote. Just a phenomenal work. We are excited to close our season with that. It will be a full evening, and as with our other semi-stage productions, the orchestra will be visible because it's still partly an orchestra concert, with the singers then on a higher platform on the stage.
This is one I need to get to know. It's a lifetime piece. I just haven't experienced.
It's fabulous.
Well, that concludes the symphonic series for the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And we're going to move on to another couple of series that are on offer. But I want to say again, right now, you can talk to someone at the Kalamazoo Symphony office about these concerts and about tickets at 269-349-7759 or click on kalamazoosymphony.com. The lighter series.
The lighter series, but just as dynamic.
So-called.
we've got we're doing again a pop series, and we have three concerts on our pop series, plus a little add-on special. Our pop series opens in October 26th, with the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Everyone loves Andrew Lloyd Webber. Phantom of the Opera is still playing on Broadway. And with his older hits like Evita and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and Jesus Christ Superstar, we'll have a great evening of tunes and melodies that everyone knows. That'll be a delight.
You could have six evenings.
I know. You could just go on forever. In December, the Saturday before Christmas, we'll do a holiday spectacular, The Sounds of the Season, and we're putting together many of our local groups, local choral groups, local instrumental groups, to celebrate the season with carols and Christmas songs. It'll be a great time for everyone, every family to come and hear that concert. And then on Valentine's Day next year, February 14th, right on the date, Chris Botti, the award-winning Grammy artist, trumpeter, will be here for a Valentine's Day celebration. There are many things people do for Valentine's Day, and sometimes, you know, the chocolates and the flowers and the out to dinner gets a little old. So maybe it's nice to do something special. And going to hear a live concert with a great artist playing romantic tunes, I mean, that'll last you for a lot of, you know, good credits in your relationship.
He's quite famous. I've seen him in concert on PBS a number of times.
Yes.
And warning, he's a bit of a handsome devil. So.
Oh, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, he might tug your heartstrings.
That might be a good thing or a bad thing. At our little extra for our pops is we're going to do the music of Led Zeppelin. Which will be fantastic. That's in March 22nd. Again, there are lots of our fans who have grown up on the music of Led Zeppelin. And to put that together with a symphony orchestra is just a wonderful combination.
Makes sense to me. They're one of the most ambitious rock bands in history. So I think their music would adapt very well. Now, this is a series I want to talk about the world of, which is dear to my heart. I think every one of them is a perfect story and gives that personal touch that where I want to know what you think about a composer, and you put it into words, and we get to hear the story as you conduct it.
The world of is our series where we examine the life and works of one composer at a time. And this coming season in October, we're doing the world of Benjamin Britten. And then next January, the world of Franz Schubert. These are, what did someone tell me? They said that this is like the best music appreciation class they've ever taken. because you have the KSO Orchestra on stage doing some of the works of these composers. And I try to pick some of the more unusual works just to pique people's interest. And I'm talking about the composer, what his life was like, why he wrote these pieces. We have slide presentations of what he looked like and what his surroundings were like. And it's amazing. When I research to do these things, I always find some little dirt, some little trivia about these composers. They were not the most virtuous people, shall we say.
Well, they were as human as the rest of us,
let's say. So it does give you an insight into a total picture of what these personalities were like. Our audiences that have come to this have just loved it. And it's a short, it's a no intermission, hour and 15 minute kind of concert. We'll be doing them this year at the Dalton Recital Hall on the campus of Western Michigan University. And I hope people really come to these. I think it's a great thing to introduce yourself to certain composers.
It must be a particular favorite of yours as well.
It is indeed.
You put so much work into it, and it shows. I mean, it's not just let's put a bunch of so-and-so's works on a program. It's the writing and the presentation and the full immersion into the life of these great characters and great artists. Again, I'll mention KalamazooSymphony.com or call 349-7759 to find out more. Let's hear about the chamber music series. It has a new name.
We had been calling it Epic Evenings. Now we're calling it Classics Uncorked. We are moving this series to the Kalamazoo Institute for the Arts, the KIA, and we'll have two concerts in the series, one November 22nd and one March 14th. These are our chamber concerts featuring some of the key players of the KSO, our string quartet, some of our principal artists. And every once in a while, I even join them playing the piano, and I will again this next season. They are fantastic informal evenings. Our audience sits at little bistro tables, sipping coffee, having dessert afterwards, and we'll have something a little stronger available for purchase since this is Classics Uncorked. And we do some well-known pieces, some string quartets or some piano trios, but also some kind of quirky, off-the-beaten-track pieces. It's an evening to explore and to meet our artists up close. So often you sit in the audience and you don't get to intermingle or see up close some of our wonderful musicians in the KSO, and this is a perfect opportunity for it.
You're hearing about the season right now here on WMUK, and it's not too early to plan ahead. You can call one of the staff members at the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra at 349-7759 or click on kalamazoosymphony.com. I thank you very much, Maestro Hari, for being here this morning. Any final thoughts?
I do hope that people strive to make music just an ordinary part of their lives. You know, yes, the music is special and fantastic, but we want to make it just something that you do all the time, listening to great music, coming to great concerts. That should be part of your breathing existence. And if it can be, we know that we're successful.
And I think you're quite a genius at making something for everyone on each concert next season. And good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, here's my choice. I'm going to play a little from Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov.